experience the world premiere of Flora, a powerful story of resilience and renewal, presented by the Australian Ballet and Bangarra Dance Theatre. This bold new dance collaboration takes you on a journey through the evolution of Australian flora, bringing together artists drawn from two of Australia's leading dance companies. Flora promises to be unmissable. Journey through our living history in this unique dance experience. Visit australianballet.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 17th of March 2026, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.4%. That's despite an interest rate rise from the Reserve Bank. We'll get the market reaction with Alice Shen from Van Eck in a few moments, plus what that rate rise means for your mortgage with Sally Tindall from Canstar. But first to that decision by the Reserve Bank to lift official interest rates for a second time this year, up 25 basis points today to 4.1%. It wasn't a unanimous decision. Five voted to lift rates, four didn't. But the RBA says it was more of a matter of timing. So what does it mean for the economy, and will there be a follow-up? For that, I spoke with Nick Stenner, the chief economist at the Bank of America. Nick, why do you think the RBA ultimately lifted interest rates, and was the board justified?
Ultimately, this is about where inflation's going in the Australian economy. Inflation's been above target for a while, and the labour market's tight. So when we're facing an upside inflation shock, like what the Middle East conflict's likely to bring the Australian economy, it's clear that the RBA want to get ahead of this and move rates to a more restrictive stance to try and get inflation down in the Australian economy.
Do you think the Reserve Bank Board would have lifted even without the impact of the Middle East war, because inflation was already above its 2-3% target band?
I think ultimately rates had to be lifted throughout 2026. It was clear based on the February forecast that the RBA released that there was a need for a more restrictive policy stance. Ultimately, they're expecting inflation to not return to the target midpoint until at least the middle of 2028. And that's a really long period of time with inflation above the target midpoint. So I think rates need to go higher. I think that the conflict in the Middle East, though, has shifted the timing as to when this is optimal, really. So if now we're facing a larger upside inflation shock, it was more clear that they needed to hike rates sooner rather than later.
It was interesting, though, that the board wasn't necessarily in agreement, because it was a 5-4 split. What do you think was going on in that boardroom?
So, I mean, Governor Bullock touched on this, that it's a really, and I agree, it's a healthy source of debate when, reasonable people can disagree. It was clear going to this meeting that they would debate the case to hold rates at 3.85%, because we're in a really uncertain environment right now. No one knows what the world's going to look like in the coming weeks, especially with this, with heightened geopolitical uncertainty. So there is a case to say, let's hold today and wait for more information on the macro outlook and the conflict in the Middle East. That being said, I think there's also a stronger case to say we should hike rates today and try and get a hold of inflation. So I think that split on the board just reflects a healthy degree of debate.
The governor also made a point of saying that the board wants to anchor inflation expectations. In its statement today, it said that short-term inflation expectations have already risen. To what extent is this concerning, and why?
It's clear that inflation expectations and the inflation path is really the RBA's focus at the moment, and the rise in inflation expectations is what the RBA is really trying to manage by hiking today. Ultimately, if inflation expectations rise, especially as we know that households' inflation expectations are closely linked to fuel prices, if they rise, that can work its way into broader inflationary pressure, because households will bid up wage contracts and that ultimately feeds through into more inflation. So if inflation expectations rise, that ultimately tends to lead to further inflationary pressure.
So that's two rate rises this year. Last year we saw rate cuts, so borrowers might be looking going, hey, what's going on here? To what extent do you think this will affect borrowers? Can they afford it? Because the banks say that many borrowers are ahead on their repayments. What does it mean for them? And what about mortgage stress?
Well, at the aggregate level, Borrowers are ahead on their payments, and so it's clearly going to be restrictive for certain people at the kind of micro level. But what the RBA is looking at is that in aggregate, some borrowers are ahead on repayments, and it's not clear that financial conditions are restrictive enough to actually bring inflation down. So it will be a hit to a number of mortgage holders. But ultimately the RBA has one tool, and the cash flow channel or working through mortgage holders is one of those channels. It's not the only channel. So it's clearly a focus for them, but it's not the only way that monetary policy affects the economy.
I guess the next question then, is there a follow-up rate rise? Are you expecting one? Are you expecting more? When?
I'm expecting we'll get one more. I think that could come as soon as the next meeting in May. I think the market has pulled back a bit on that. It's definitely not fully priced. But I think inflation is likely to remain elevated. And it was clear that the RBA aren't sure whether policy is restrictive enough with a cash rate at 4.1. So I think there's a high likelihood that we end up in May getting a hike to 4.35%. That should be a restrictive enough level that slows demand in the economy and ultimately brings inflation back to target.
And finally, this puts Australia as an outlier in the central bank economy, right, where rates are rising. In the US, there's still talk of rate cuts, even though those cuts may be pushed further back into the year. So what message do you think this is sending to the world?
I think this largely reflects the fact that the Australian economy has quite different starting conditions for when this shock hit. So ultimately, the shock hit Australia when inflation was already above target, the labour market was probably too tight to get inflation back to target, and growth was running above trend. So the RBA didn't really have much room or flexibility to look through this shock, in my opinion, whereas some of those other central banks that are able to look through the shock and will likely hold rates this week or at the upcoming policy meetings. That reflects the fact that they've potentially got a bit more slack in their economy. Inflation isn't as elevated, so they have a bit more flexibility to look through the shock.
That's Nick Stenner there, the Chief Economist at Bank of America.
Experience the world premiere of Flora, a powerful story of resilience and renewal, presented by the Australian Ballet and Bangarra Dance Theatre. This bold new dance collaboration takes you on a journey through the evolution of Australian flora, bringing together artists drawn from two of Australia's leading dance companies. Flora promises to be unmissable. Journey through our living history in this unique dance experience. Visit australianballet.com.au.
Our Medicine returns for a powerful new season.
Our role is being there on someone's worst day. It can also be a really tough place to work.
Step onto the front line with First Nations medical practitioners.
You had a fall, did you?
With unprecedented access.
You can't control what's going to happen next.
The series reveals how modern medicine and cultural knowledge work together to deliver better care.
That's a pretty beautiful thing to be part of.
Our Medicine. Stream now on SBS On Demand.
Okay, so what does it mean for your mortgage? Well, researchers at Canstar say a borrower with a $500,000, 25-year owner-occupier loan will see their mortgage repayments rise by $76 a month as a result when their bank pass on that rate increase. But add this March rise to the previous rate rise we saw in February, and it means that borrower with that $500,000 loan will be paying $151 a month more. Obviously, the larger the loan, the more you'll need to pay, as mortgage rates hit a near one-year high. For more, I spoke with Sally Tindall from Canstar.
This is yet another blow for households across the country with a mortgage and potentially renters as well. It's not just a double whammy having a hike in February and now again in March, because families are already battling higher petrol prices, the end of the electricity rebates, yet another rise to private health insurance premiums. It is all starting to pile up on already stretched households.
This will no doubt, as you mentioned, be troublesome for borrowers and may prompt some borrowers to review their rates. How do they know if they're on a good rate? What is a good interest rate on a home loan?
Well, this rate hike, we expect the banks all to pass it on in full. This should prompt borrowers to check their interest rate and understand exactly what a good rate looks like. Right now, after this rate hike filters through, we expect that the average owner occupier is going to be on a variable rate of 6.01%. We haven't seen the average owner occupier variable rate sitting in the sixes since April of last year, but we're back here yet again. But you should be on the lower end of that average, definitely in the fives as an owner-occupier, and a good stretch target at this point we expect to be under 5.75%. In fact, CanStar analysis shows that if banks pass it on in full, there'll still be over 40 different lenders offering at least one variable rate under 5.75 once this rate hike filters through. In fact, there could be a handful of lenders still offering variable rates around that 5.5 mark, but it's a matter of shopping around, understanding whether your rate is competitive, and if you find it's not keeping up with the pack in terms of the competition, it's time to get on the phone and ask for a rate review from your current bank or refinance to a different bank willing to offer you a more competitive deal.
Given this talk of further rate rises, how should a borrower approach the whole should I fix or stay variable decision? What do they need to know?
Well, for starters tonight, sit down and understand exactly what the impact of this rate hike will be on your minimum monthly mortgage repayments, but also do the maths on another hike, because we've got all four big bank economic teams predicting that there could be still more rate paying to come in the months ahead. Whether to go fixed or variable, I know a lot of borrowers will be contemplating that at this point in time. They just want to mitigate that rate hike pain that we've been having in February and now again in March, but it's important to understand the fine print when it comes to fixed rates. Firstly, there's typically a cap on extra payments in the fixed rate term, but also most fixed rates don't come with features like an offset account. So factor that in, but also understand that the RBA is currently in a hiking cycle. But that doesn't mean they could just suddenly do a U-turn back to cutting the cash rate, particularly if the war drags on and these, the impact of rising petrol prices starts having a very negative impact on our economy. People start laying off jobs. That's when the RBA could well step in and issue a number of rate cuts in order to revive the economy and boost jobs. And so that could be not too far in the distant future. You really want to be factoring in the possibility of rate cuts instead of hikes in your fixed rate maths.
Okay, and we've spoken about borrowers. What will this mean for savers and what kind of savings rates are out there?
Well, as we know, unfortunately, all too well, banks play a game of chicken when it comes to announcing their savings rates. They're very quick to announce that they're passing on the rate hikes to variable borrowers in full. But with savers, they hold back on those announcements and then start to pick and choose which savings rates get a boost and which miss out. And in some cases, within the one savings account, banks could boost, say, the bonus rate, but not apply it to the base rate. So if you've got money in the bank, keep a keen eye on exactly what your interest rate is, not just that headline figure, but also the base figure, and make sure that your bank is passing it on in full. A good rate after this rate hike filters through will be sitting at around 5%. We expect a number of banks will be sitting there in the 5% club, offering at least one ongoing savings rate at that 5% mark. If someone's looking for no terms and conditions, you're probably going to have to accept a little bit less, something around the 4.75% rate mark would be good for an ongoing savings rate without any of those strings attached.
Sally Tindall there from CanStar. Now to the Australian share market and investor reaction, where the ASX 200 was flat for much of the session but rose as the RBA lifted rates. The ASX 200 up 0.4%. to 8,614. All the major banks rose. Mining shares rebounded from heavy selling, and the Australian dollar at 70.7 US cents. For more, I spoke with Alice Shen from Van Eck. Alice, first of all, how exactly did the market react to the RBA's decision to lift interest rates today?
Yeah, sure. The market was already expecting a 70% probability of a rate hike today. So it was not completely unsurprising. The market did shoot up and since then have moderated a bit. Currently, we are looking at 0.2% of a gain today with REITs leading the pack and IT dragged.
Okay. I guess the key question now is, will there be another one? To what extent is the market expecting a follow-up in May? What's the chances, for example, and how many rate rises could there be?
Yeah, the last time I checked on my screen, the market is still expecting a 66% probability of a rate hike in May. So given the higher for longer inflationary backdrop, we do think that there could be more than one rate hike by the end of the year. And it's also interesting that in today's RBA decision, it is a split one with five members voted an increase of 25 basis points and four members voted unchanged. So it just goes to show how close the decision was and the uncertainty around the war in the Middle East that's currently taking place and the inflationary repercussions to the global markets.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing because we know that inflation was already above the Reserve Bank's target before this meeting. The one thing that was different since its last meeting was this war happening in the Middle East. How are local investors reacting to the latest developments there?
Yeah, that's a really interesting dynamic because in previous episodes, this sort of geopolitical tensions and the energy disruptions tend to create a lot more volatility to the global equities market. And the sentiment is very much risk off in the locally in the ASX market as well. Energy is the only sector that's standing strong in ASX 200. Even though it's extremely hard to predict when the war is going to end, we do think that a lot of the successful long-term investors tend to stick to their investment principles. For instance, for equities, look at companies with strong balance sheets, being profitable, as well as earnings visibility. If I do have to use an analogy, these sort of geopolitical events are like shark attacks, and they are rare. And investors, on the other hand, are swimmers. So swimmers in this sort of climate do need to exercise their caution, but it doesn't stop you from pursuing your long-term investment goals.
Unlike shark attacks, though, you hear of one, then all of a sudden you hear of two, three, four at the same time. What about the opportunities for investors now, especially as this volatility continues?
Yeah, I think we have a bit of a contrarian one. So in this sort of volatile times, we are looking at China Asia's or the China onshore market. If we look at the performance since the war broke out at the end of last month, the country's benchmark index CSI 300 barely budged, moving down only 0.7%. Why is that? It's because the country is still largely reliant on oil, on relying on coal instead of oil. That's why the shock hasn't really come through to the domestic equity market. And unlike a lot of the Asian counterparts, such as Japan and Korea, China is also looking at a lot of the renewable energy sources, such as solar and wind. Hence, this is sort of the domestic dynamic playing out. And another piece of news that might have flown under the radar last week is that the country's two sessions annual policy meeting, they announced that there is going to be 100 billion renminbi domestic consumption boost fund to prop up the domestic consumption and demand. So overall, we do think this presents a very unique and good opportunities for investors for diversification benefits for the rest of 2026.
That is Alice Chen from Van Eck, and she wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday as the Reserve Bank lifted interest rates for the second time this year. If you enjoy the podcast, give it a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Traffic, hunt for a trolley, search three aisles, and still not find your pet's food. Or you could be here. With PetCircle.com.au, Australia's largest vet-approved range is delivered to your door with our next day delivery guarantee to most metro areas. And while you're at the park, our price beat hustlers are checking prices, so you don't have to. Find it cheaper? We'll beat it by 5%. PetCircle.com.au. More park time, less parking lots. Conditions apply. See website.